Hi folks, this is Bart from BartBushes.ie, back again on the Typical Mac User podcast for the fifth part of my introduction to the terminal. Last time we learned that every file and every folder in Unix-like systems belongs to one person and to one group, and that there are three possible permissions: read permission, write permission, and execute permission, and that those three permissions are defined at three levels: what the user who owns the file can do, what members of the group that own the file can do, and what everybody else can do. And those permissions are applied first user, then group, then everyone. As soon as you find a permission that applies, you stop looking any further. Last time we only looked at how you can read these permissions off using the ls-l command. What we didn't look at all was how you manipulate these permissions, and that's what we're going to look at today, and we're going to look at the three commands which do that. Now, I have to give a warning at this stage. You know, don't mess with permissions unless you have a good reason to. Be very careful what permissions you mess with, and certainly don't mess with permissions on folders that OS X provides you by default. Don't change the stuff on your home directory. Don't change the stuff in your documents folder. Don't change the stuff on your music folder. You can change permissions within some of those folders on specific files and folders that you've created and that you're, you know, doing something with. But really, it's a very, very bad idea to start messing with the permissions of built-in stuff unless you really know what you're doing and that you're doing it for a very good reason. Now, unless you do something to become the root user, which we haven't discussed yet, which we will be discussing in future, you do not have the power in a Unix-based system like OS X to damage the actual core system files because they're all protected. However, you still have the power to mess up your own user account. And, well, all of your stuff is in your user account. You really don't want to mess up your user account. Not a good idea. The other thing to bear in mind is that you won't necessarily have much reason to manipulate these permissions in the general scheme of things. If you're the kind of person where you are the only user of the computer, therefore there are no other user accounts in the system that you might want to share stuff with, and if you're not running servers and fancy things, I don't think you're ever going to need to manipulate the permissions of a file. However, if you have multiple people sharing a Mac, you may very well wish to manipulate the permissions so that you can have a document which both you and one of the other users can edit, etc., etc., etc. Okay, but remember, be careful. That's all I'm going to say. Just be careful. Okay, so now let's get into it. First two commands are easy, last one really isn't. So, let's get into the easy ones. First off, how do you change who a file belongs to? The command you use is chown, which is often pronounced chown. This command is a fairly straightforward and simple structure. Chown space the username that you want to change the file to or folder space one or more files or folders separated by spaces. So chown space some username space one or more files. Chown takes one important argument that I'm going to mention, and that's the argument minus capital R, which stands for recursive. And what that means is if you give this flag, the command will enter into the folder you specify and apply that same permission change the entire way up through that folder. So in all files in that folder, in all subfolders in that folder, in all files in subfolders, etc., 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 ad infinitum. Everything from that point down will have that change of ownership applied. Chown is a very, very old command. Modern commands don't really care what order arguments and stuff come in. Chown command really does care, and that flag can't go, you know, that flag can't go at any point. It has to come straight after the chown. So chown space minus capital R space username space one or more files. The command for changing which group a file or folder belongs to is very, very similar. The command is chgrp, which stands for change group, and it takes exactly the same format. So chgrp space optionally a minus capital R, then space a group space one or more file names or folder names. Finally, you can do two in one. You can change both the owner and the group in one go using the chown command, and you basically, so where you would have put in the username before, you put in username colon group name, and away you go. So it's a handy little thing, because you often do want to change both at once. Okay, now we come to what is, without a shadow of a doubt, the most difficult command we have done in this entire series so far, and it may well be the most difficult command we ever do. It's confusing, it's tricky, and it involves binary. Not good. I also think it's fair to say I've been dreading this from the very, very start, because I've known we're going to have to deal with it, and it's really difficult to explain well. I'm going to do my best. If I get it wrong, please send feedback. I'm quite prepared to try again. If something doesn't make sense, send your questions to Victor. Victor will pass them on to me, and I'll have another go. But anyway, let's get started. The first thing you have to bear in mind is that this command is old. This dates back to the really early days of Unix, and in those days, people using computers were all nerds, and nerds all knew how to count in binary. Stuff like masks and flags and things, this is all perfectly normal, you know, and to have a binary mask to define something seemed perfectly sensible. Well, file permissions are masks. Okay, what does that mean? Well, we said that there were three permissions, or WX, and I always say them in that order, or WX. Okay. They're actually represented in the computer as three sets of ones and zeros, or a 3-bit binary number. So, if the permission is there, you give a 1, if the permission isn't there, you give a 0. So, to have full permission of everything, it's 111. To have read permission, no write permission, but to have execute permission is 101. Okay? So, now, we don't talk in binary, we talk in actual decimal numbers. So, there's an fairly easy way to remember this, but if you ever want to calculate these things, you need to learn binary and it just gets messy and stuff. If you happen to know binary, great, then all this stuff will just make sense. If you don't, I'm going to give you three numbers to remember, and those three numbers are enough to work everything out. In your head, you should always think OrWX. Always have them in that order. OrWX. And then I want you to remember this sequence of numbers. 4, 2, 1. OrWX, 4, 2, 1. Read permission matches to the number 4. Write permission matches to the number 2. Execute permission matches to the number 1. So if you want to give read, write, and execute, you have 4 plus 2 plus 1, which gives 7. So the number for allow you to do everything is 7. If you want to give read permission and execute permission, but not write permission, it's 4 plus 1, which is 5. If you want to give read and write permission, but not execute permission, it's 4 plus 2, which is 6. If you want to give read permission and absolutely nothing else, it's 4. Okay, so OrWX, 421. Add them up to give the total that you want. Okay, and you do this 3 times. Once for the user, once for the group, and once for everyone else. And that's how you build up this couplet, or this triplet, of 3 digits that represent a Unix file permission. The most common one, by far, is 755. You, the owner, can do everything, and everyone else can read and execute, but not modify the file, not write to it. Another very common permission is 644. It means you can read and write, but not execute, and everyone else can just read, nothing else. Another very important permission that you may want to consider if you have something very sensitive on a shared computer, 700. You can do whatever you like, but absolutely no one else in the system, with one exception, can do anything at all to that file. The one exception is the root user, because the root user bypasses all permissions. To the root user, permissions do not exist. Root user has 777 on everything. Okay, so now that we know how to make the masks, it's time to put it all together and to actually give you the command, which is chmod, or shmod. Shmod works pretty much exactly like the other two commands we've given, chown and chgroup. So, shmod space, or chmod, space, optionally a minus capital R to make it recursive, space, the permission mask, so 755, 700, 644, whichever one you've calculated, those three numbers, space, one or more file names or folder names. And that's it. That's how you apply Unix file permissions. You can always check whether you've got it right, and in fact, I encourage you to do this until you become very, very comfortable with this, and you check simply by doing ls minus l and checking that you have the appropriate combination of OrWX, OrWX, and OrWX. So, as I say, this is by far the most complicated thing. I hope I've explained it clearly. Please rewind and replay. I hope it sinks in. I really hope I've managed to get this across. It's not all like this. Please don't let this scare you off. There's a reason I did this in episode 5, and that's because if I did this in episode 1, I wouldn't have any listeners anymore. This is as bad as it gets. Okay, with this, we've now completed a very, very important area of the tutorials that I have mapped out in my head. We now understand what a file system is, we can navigate our way through it, and we understand what permissions are, and we can manipulate them. We're now ready to actually start doing interesting things and useful things. This is sort of the foundation upon which we can build. Without the foundation, we wouldn't have got anywhere. But now that we have the foundation, we can set off and start to do actual practical things. So, until next time, happy computing.